among us, all that he does, all of his mercies, all of his love. If the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk,
ears that can listen, and eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed.
A mother and father who nurtured and raised,
sisters and brothers memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that still saves, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
You were worried I was going to call you up for a third one, weren't you? I think they were. You blessed tonight? Yeah. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Mark chapter 2. And as you turn there, we have some of our young people heading out to Bible college this week. And some of them were singing tonight. And so be in prayer for our Bible college students, a couple of them heading out this week, a couple next week. And so be in prayer for them as they continue on with their studies and serving the Lord. And so we're very, very blessed tonight. When you find Mark chapter 2, would you stand to your feet, please, as we read the Word of God, as you're able. Mark chapter 2, and we'll read verse 1 through 12 of this passage tonight. In Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, and you follow along as I read, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And that but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Let's pray as we begin this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the night and the time to get to open your word, and we've truly been blessed. God, so much more than we deserve, so much more than we realize. God, you've been so good to us. Thank you for the time we can meet tonight, and I pray that you would help us as we open the Word of God, that you would speak to our hearts, to each and every one of us, Lord, wherever the case may be needed, we pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look in the Scriptures tonight, a familiar story about this man that was sick of the palsy that could not walk, and four men came to him, and they picked up the sides of his bed and carried him to Jesus. Jesus was in Capernaum in the house, and it was noised abroad that he was there, insomuch that there was no room to come even in the house. And so you could imagine the four as they carried the bed of this man. Maybe they were waiting for Jesus come, for him to be healed. Whatever the case may be, Jesus was there, and these men said, okay, we've got to bring him to Jesus. Maybe they thought someday Jesus will pass his way, but they saw an opportunity. And it was opportunity to help someone to bring this friend, this man, someone they knew, someone they cared about, enough to bring him to Jesus. But when they came there was no way to get to Jesus. When they came, there was obstacles of crowds of people so that you couldn't even get to the door. And they came to the house and they said, well, we came this far, forget it, we're going back. You ever went to take a drive somewhere only to find out it was closed and nothing else to do but to go back and just discourage? Well, what are we going to do now? And try to make the best of the situation. And they came and the house was full. They couldn't get to Jesus, but they had a friend. They needed help. And so they took this man and they hoisted him up on the roof. And I can imagine that was not an easy circumstance. I can imagine it wasn't easy to lift someone up on the roof, and they had some way to lower him down into the house. So maybe they had a way to bring him up. Maybe they dropped him a couple times, bang him against the house on accident. You know, who knows how that went. They got him on the house, and I bet he's thinking, guys, what are you doing? I already can't walk. It could get worse. And so they bring him up there, and they start tearing the roof apart. And I could imagine the men on top and this man sick of the palsy looking like, what's going on here? And then I could imagine the people in the house as Jesus is preaching to them, and you know, there's distractions in church sometimes, and maybe a fly and the lights flicker, but like the roof has never opened up to my knowledge and someone coming down from the sky. If so, I'm out of here, all right? That's all I got to say. And the roof opened up and they started lowering a man down, and they're like, what is happening? And they lower him down, and Jesus looked up and he knew what was going on. No one else did. And as he looked up and he saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And everyone started to question and wonder, and how could, you know, blasphemy, how could one say this? And he said, is it easier to say your sins be forgiven or arise, take up thy bed and walk? And after that, he said, arise and take up your bed and walk. He said, I cannot just do one, but I can do both. I can forgive his sins and heal him of his lack of strength and healing in his legs, and carried him, you know, and he took off. And guess what? When he left, he carried his own bed. No one had to help him carry it anymore, but he took off and carried his bed. And God did a great miracle that day. In this passage, there's a song sung about this. And if you're in youth group when I was there, I do not love the song. And I think it's unbiblical. Maybe it's not. I don't know. My name is Lazarus. Lazarus is not in the story. All right? That's all I have to say about that song anyway. If you don't know the song, listen to it later. All right? Amen. All right? Did I teach you anything in youth group? Hopefully so. If you learned anything. But as they came there that day, they had a friend in need, Jesus that could heal, but they had obstacles. They had obstacles. There were the crowds, the man that couldn't walk, and the only way to get there was to go up on the roof, but they had a friend in need and needed healing and needed help. You ever faced obstacles in your life? Or somehow for you, it is always smooth sailing. Never bills, never unexpected things coming up, never health, you know, never relate, you know, never any issues at all. It's just smooth sailing. You know, sometimes we think as Christians, because we're trying to live for God, doing what's right, trying to raise your family in church and reading your Bible, that it should all be smooth sailing and easy and no bumps along the road. But that's not life. So I want to encourage you tonight with a thought about getting past the obstacles. Getting past the obstacles. There's going to be obstacles we face in life, difficulty, unexpected things that come up, or things you know are coming up, and it may seem that it's a dead end, a closed door, no answer. I did everything I could that was right, and yet it seems like there's a block there and I can't get through. You know, they could have come that day to the house where Jesus was preaching and said, well, we can't get in. There's nothing we could do. We'll come back another time. But there was an urgency to the need to help this man that had been sick of the palsy for how long? We don't know, but they said, we've got to help him. And they said, well, there's something we could do. And maybe they started brainstorming, and maybe there was a lot of bad ideas they threw out the window, and this was the good idea they came up with and said, we need to get this man to Jesus. There's going to be times in life where you face obstacles, sometimes where maybe it looks like a closed door, but God wants you to persevere past the obstacles. Sometimes where maybe we quit or we stop short of God working. Sometimes where we maybe give up a little too soon before we see God do the miracles, and it seems, as you think of the Israelites about to go to the wilderness, and they get blocked by the Red Sea and the Egyptian army behind them, and the obstacle was the Red Sea. But is there any obstacle too big for God? There's not. And life is going to have obstacles and difficulty, but that's an opportunity for God to help you to prove your faith in him. And God wants to see, are you willing to keep going even when times get tough? Are you willing to keep pushing forward even when it doesn't seem like it's going your way, and when you're doing what's right, but it seems like things are not seeming to go the right way? Sometimes God closes a door and he says, no, not any further. Don't ask anymore. And God clearly closes a door in a situation, and where God says, stop, and there's another open door somewhere else. But there's other times where God says, just keep going forward. There's another way, but you're going to have to persevere through it. In our house, we've lived in there a few years, but they painted all the doors, the interior doors, black. And a black interior door, just so you know, looks the same as a dark room. And if you know where I'm going with this, and there's times you're walking in the hallway, you don't want to turn the lights on, and the kids see the light from under the door, and then, it becomes a thing. Anyway, so you leave the lights off, and you know, maybe you're looking down and not paying attention. You think the door's open, and you keep walking, but it actually was closed. And there's a couple times where I got woken up really good trying to walk through a closed door. I'm not Jesus or Superman or whatever it may be, and I don't go through closed doors. And so many times I walk, okay, just making sure. I think it's open, but in any case, let's just not hit that straight on. Sometimes God closes a door, and sometimes God said, put your hand out and open the door up. There's a door there. But there's obstacles sometimes. You think of people in the New Testament when they came to Jesus, when there seems to be obstacles. Many times it seemed to be the crowds of people. Sometimes it was the obstacles of doubters, of people doubting who Jesus was or doubting someone's intentions or why they were coming to him. And there's obstacles sometimes, but think of the woman with the issue of blood and the crowds pressed Jesus, but she believed if I could just touch the hem of his garment that I could be healed. And she had the faith that if I could just get to Jesus, she could have quit a little bit early and she had never been healed. And Jesus stopped and said, who is it that touched me? And the disciples went, what do you mean who touched you? There's multitudes of people around you, but Jesus knew there was someone that was willing to push through the obstacles. And know this, that anytime someone was willing to push past the crowds, Jesus many times singled them out, and they were either saved or healed, or God gave an example of their faith because they were willing to push past the obstacles that life may put in your way. I think of Zacchaeus Jesus came passing through the streets, and he was short, couldn't see him, and he went and climbed up the tree just to see Jesus pass by. You ever go to a parade or a game or something, and that person wants to stand in front of you that no one can see around, you're like, could you just stand behind me? And he went and climbed up the tree, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm coming to your house today. Satan's going to give you obstacles. The world's going to put obstacles in your way. Many times they're not like, here, you go to Jesus. You're going to have to get past the obstacles. Think of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Many others. Sometimes God says, stop. Sometimes God says, keep trying harder. Keep going. Don't quit yet. There's a miracle. There's a blessing on the other side of the difficulty that you're going to have to get through. And again, guess what? Life is going to bring difficulties sometimes. You ever notice that? Unexpected things that come up and you say, God, I didn't ask for this. And God said, yes, but I put it in your way to test your faith, to prove how hard you're willing to try to get to me. Not trying to keep you away, but to prove your faith and your love for him. You'll face obstacles in life. It doesn't mean quit. It doesn't mean stop. It may not always mean come back another time. It might mean keep moving forward. Follow the Spirit's leading on that. I'm not trying to say push through when God says no. But parents, you're going to face obstacles with your children that you're going to have to push through. You're going to have to pray about. You're going to have to get wisdom. You're going to have to help them with that. Children, you're going to find obstacles in school that you're going to face. We're Bible college students as well. Adults, you may face obstacles in work that you've got to try to work through. Life doesn't always come at us easy and perfect and just the way we ask for it. Many times it does just the opposite of what we would ask or expect at times, and we apply the Word of God and how God can help us through that. Maybe the obstacles of friendships, finances, your job, maybe in ministry. Maybe ministry that you are part of and it just doesn't seem like it's going as good as you wished or hoped, and you seem like you're putting your all into it. I know that there's times in ministry of to where it seemed like it was the greatest times of difficulty and not seeming to be the biggest times of blessings, are the times where I believe I put the most prayer and effort and faith and trust in God and saying, God, I can't do it, and see God do something great. Maybe it's a bus route, a Sunday school class, a family situation, whatever it may be, we've got to get past the obstacles. I don't know about you, but I like a good obstacle course. Now, I'm not one of those crazy people that pays a bunch of money to crawl through the mud and pretend like I'm training for the Navy SEALs just to get an award at the end that I finished this crazy thing. But, I'm good for a good obstacle course. That sounds fun. But you've got different things you've got to get through and past. I think of David had to get through obstacles to defeat Goliath. Guess what? Everyone was not for David. Everyone was not on his side. They weren't cheering him on. Go, David. They weren't doing that. He had to get past the obstacles to do what God had for him to do. Paul had to get past obstacles to preach the gospel. Nehemiah had to get through obstacles to build the wall around Jerusalem with God's help, of course. Moses had to go through obstacles in leading the Israelites through the wilderness. So why are we any different? You ever done that before? Well, God, why do I have to go through this? Obstacles, trials, testing that God puts in your way. None of us are exempt from those, and we're going to have to get through those. There's no single person in the Bible that went through zero difficulty, zero obstacles, everyone on their side cheering them on. You can live for God. It doesn't work that way, does it? Everyone's going to go through their own trials and difficulties, things they have to work through. Proverbs 24 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We're going to have to build up our strength as a Christian, as a husband, a father, as a son or daughter, that you're going to have to get some strength from God to get through those times where you say, God, maybe it's the next prayer. Maybe it's the next time knocking on that door. Maybe it's the next time encouraging that person. Maybe it's one more step of faith that you'd have me to take. Let's get past the obstacles. The pessimist says we can't do it. The pessimist sees all the negative. I'm not going to ask for the raise of hands on the pessimist here, or for those of you to point fingers at the pessimist here, of the ones we can't do it, we're never going to make it, you know, just always the downer. And then the optimist, you know, I would hope I'd be more on the optimist side. I'm not sure. It depends on the situation, maybe. Sometimes optimist, you might be like, okay, a little too much on the optimism. Let's be a little more realistic in this situation as well. But let's have faith in God to get through the obstacles. Three thoughts tonight. I've already briefly mentioned them in simple points tonight. Number one is this: keep praying to God. Keep praying to God. Do we believe in prayer? Do we believe in prayer? There's times in our life where we say we believe in prayer, but we don't really spend the time in prayer that we should. And then God brings that situation and you say, God, now I really need to get serious praying. It doesn't say anything in this passage that these men prayed. But if you see four men that cared enough for one man that would take their time to carry him all the way to where Jesus was, carry him on the roof, open up the roof and lower him down, and Jesus saw their faith, they believed enough in God and that God could heal this man. I could only assume, not trying to add to the Bible, that these must have been praying men. They must have believed that God could make a difference, or why would they take the time of their day to go? They could have just listened to Jesus themselves and left him behind. Keep praying to God. Keep praying to God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. To pray and pray and pray. How many times you said, I prayed, but it seems like God's not answering? I prayed, but it seems like, you know, there's no open door yet. I prayed, but God's not, you know, provided the need for me. Guess what? Just keep praying. Just keep praying. It's not a dead end. It's not a dead end. It's keep praying. Unless if God were to tell you no, keep praying. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. Remember Jesus when he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he went to pray and left the disciples and brought the three, and he went further to pray, and he said, would you pray with me 1 hour? And man, they were fervently in prayer, weren't they? No, they were like most in a prayer meeting. They're falling asleep. And he came back and shook him away. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? And he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he said, sleep on. Too late. The time passed. You're done. You're fired. Keep praying to God. We'd sing that song, don't ever give up, just pray. Do we believe that? Don't ever give up, just pray. Whatever the situation and obstacle may be in life, don't ever give up, just pray. You say, but you don't know my situation. Then maybe you don't understand who God is. Don't ever give up, just pray. Don't diminish the importance of prayer. I don't know what your obstacle may be tonight. I don't know who your obstacle may be tonight. But don't ever give up, just pray. Just keep praying to God. What is it in your life that you stopped praying for? What is it in your life that you used to pray for but you don't anymore because, you know, you may not say it out loud, but in your mind, you know, what's the point? Don't give up. Keep praying to God. Keep praying to God, number one. But number two, keep bringing people to Jesus. Simple thought tonight, but look at this. Look at everything they went through to get this man to Jesus. They carried him in his bed. He couldn't walk. Pushed past the crowds. Climbed up on the roof. Opened the tiles. Lowered him down. I guess they didn't have to bring him back up because he carried his bed and he took off from there. Let him down to the ground and he took off. And but look at this. This wouldn't have happened if four people didn't invest in his life. It took some effort. You ever carried somebody before that's not helping you? They're not walking in some way, and carried the corners of his bed, and it, I'm sure, got heavy. How long they travel, I don't exactly know, but it took some effort to get him to Jesus. Many times it takes more than one person to try to get someone to Jesus, or maybe more than one opportunity. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Bible says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's an example that many times God uses more than one person to try to pray to someone, be a witness to them, encourage them, bring them to Jesus, invite them to church, whatever it may be. Keep bringing people to Jesus. Keep praying to God, but keep bringing people to Jesus. Keep looking for the lost. Don't ever lose your perspective on looking for lost people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. Keep looking for the lost. Keep witnessing. Keep teaching your class. Keep bringing people on those bus routes. Keep faithful in church. Keep leaving tracks. Keep bringing people to Jesus. Why? Because God can make a difference. You say, but I prayed before. But I witnessed before. There's a testimony of a man that we've been praying for that this week got saved. And it seemed to be an impossible situation, if you will. And God broke through. Don't quit. People's lives are too important to quit on the lost and bringing them to Jesus. They need you to care about them. Just one more soul. If just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every struggle. Be worth every mile. Is it worth it? Keep bringing people to Jesus. We have soul-winning times. We have outreach events. We have many opportunities. You say, we keep busy around here. We do. Trying to bring people to Jesus. We don't have a lot of crazy big extra functions just for the fun of it. There's a couple that we do just to spend time as a church family. Usually has something to do with food. And that's biblical too. They broke bread. Amen. But bring people to Jesus. It's worth it. And sometimes it takes a team of people. Maybe it takes a loved one praying for them, encouraging them, and then saying, would you go talk to them? And could you send someone to pray for them? And could you take some time with them? Keep bringing people to Jesus. You want to have part in bringing someone to Jesus. When's the last time you helped to carry someone to Jesus? Now, please don't literally, figuratively drag someone to church. You could get in trouble for that. Just disclaimer on that. But bring someone to the Lord. And then number three tonight is keep your faith. Keep your faith. Keep praying to God. Keep bringing people to Jesus. And then keep your faith. The Bible says when they broke up the roof and they lowered him down, in verse number five it says, and when Jesus saw their faith. When he saw their faith, he said, I see four people. They care for one person. They kept the faith. Don't give up faith. Christian life starts by faith in Jesus Christ alone, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins as the only way of salvation. And that's where the Christian life begins. When you're born again into the family of God, and the Christian life is a testing of your faith, building your faith until the day that you go to heaven. Keep your faith. Keep your faith. Don't give up your faith. Jesus looked at them and he saw their faith. You know what we don't see in this passage is anything that these men say. You realize that? They don't say a word. They picked up the bed. They did the effort. They brought and they lowered him down. And Jesus did all the speaking and this man at the end as well. But look at this. They kept the faith. Sometimes it's not as much about what you say, but what you do. The example of your faith that others see, of you being in your spot, You being faithful to God, being a faithful example, a light as a grandparent, as a parent, as a child, and people look and see your faith and are encouraged and challenged by it as well. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. You know, sometimes it's easy to lose the faith. There's times to think, well, I've lost faith in the situation. I've lost faith in the world. I've lost faith in whatever it may be. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your faith in God. In the book of Matthew, Jesus came into his own country and taught there, and they rejected him. And the Bible says in Matthew 13, 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did not many wonderful, mighty works there because of their unbelief. God works based on your faith. God blesses based on your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Keep the faith. Jesus faced rejection. Jesus encountered unbelief. Jesus faced the doubters, but he kept the faith. Keep your faith. Pray more. You say, I've already prayed. Well, pray more. Pray extra. Stay up late. Get up early. Spend time praying about the situation. You see, but nothing's going to change it but God. Nothing's going to change it but God can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God can. Amen. Pray more. Work harder. You say, I prayed, but I've never witnessed. Well, God wants you to witness too. Sometimes we take prayer as taking the back seat, and I prayed, but I'm not going to do anything else. Guess what? Life takes work. It took work to carry him, to get him there. It took some work. There's something about getting out and sweating and getting out there and doing the work that needs to be done for your family, for your church, for the work of the Lord. Invest in your spouse. Invest in your children. Invest in the lost. Invest in the things that matter in life. And when obstacles come, it should make us want to work even harder to see God break through in that area. You say, but they said no, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to try again. But they don't want to hear the gospel. Well, I'm going to try again another time. I'm going to pray. I was thinking about that. Our neighbor that lives next to us, he's the best neighbor ever. He is almost never home. I'm serious. Like, he comes to, like, every few months. He has another house somewhere, and he got married, and they have, I don't know the situation anyway, but he works down there, and he was visiting here, and I witnessed him before, and he didn't get saved, and I was thinking about this morning, and that I've got to try to find a chance to witness him again. He wasn't saved before, and praying that he does again. I'll finish with this story this evening. In May of 2001, Eric, and I can't pronounce his last name, accomplished something that only 150 people a year do. He reached the top of Mount Everest. The thing that made Eric's achievement unusual is that he's the first blind person to succeed in scaling the tallest mountain in the world. I don't think that's smart, by the way, whether you're seeing or not. Eric was born with a disease, and by the time he was 13, he was completely blind. Rather than focus on what he could not do, he made the choice to focus on what he could do, and he went much further than almost anyone expected. Eric has a biography that he wrote. I haven't read it, so I'm not going to promote it. Many times we face a choice. We can allow obstacles to stop us, or we can see how we can get past the obstacles and how God can work through the obstacles. You're going to face obstacles this year. Are you going to ask God to help you get through it? Are you going to try to do it on your own or with God's help? Are you going to pray, keep your faith, follow God's word, and then be amazed how God breaks through? At the end of this passage, this man, he arose up and he took his bed and went to his house. And the Bible says that all the people were amazed and glorified God in verse 12, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anything like this. That's what God can do. You say, well, that's only in the Bible time. No, God can do that now. God can heal. God can help. God can answer prayers. God can do anything. Don't stop at the obstacles of life. Satan's going to bring them. He's going to bring the temptations, difficulty. You know that person you invite to church or give the gospel, and he's going to find every way to disrupt or distract possible. Don't give up on the obstacles. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, what are the obstacles that you are facing tonight in your heart, in your life, in your home, in your job maybe, in your ministry? I'm not sure what it may be, but we're all facing obstacles where maybe we feel like we've failed, or maybe we've given up and lost the faith and just kind of given up to the point where it's just the way it's going to be. But God can break through. Maybe God is just waiting for you to keep praying. Keep praying. Maybe just waiting on God's timing. Investing in someone else's life. Seeing what God can do. I'm not sure what you might be facing tonight. God knows. You know. But would you spend time with the Lord tonight? We'll have an invitation time where you can come and spend time with the Lord and pour out your heart to God and let God speak to you and pray that God would break through. With no one looking around tonight, we'll have an invitation time, a time to respond to what God has spoken to your heart about. Are you saved and are you certain? Do you know for sure that if you died tonight that you would go to heaven, or are you not sure? If there's a question, if there's a wonder, or if you would say, I really just don't know, could we have someone show you from the Word of God in just a few moments how you can know for sure that you're saved? It's not about joining the church. It's not about getting baptized. You don't have to say anything. I don't want to embarrass you at all. But can we show you from the Bible how you can know that you're saved and go into heaven? Wouldn't you like to know that tonight? Someone helped this man get to Jesus. His sins were forgiven. He could walk again, and he was forever blessed from that. Salvation is one time, trusting in Christ, having your sins forgiven. If you don't know that you're saved tonight, no one's looking around, would you raise your hand up? Say, I'd like to have someone show me that. Would you slip your hand up real quick and say, I don't know that, but I'd like to know. Slip your hand up and put it down. I'd love to pray for you and encourage you. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The invitation time will begin. If you need someone to pray with, come and see Brother James. If you need a place to pray, an obstacle that as God has allowed in your life, don't quit, don't give up, don't lose your faith. Just keep going for the Lord, and let's get past the obstacles tonight. With God's help,